as well as the people that we draw in to the platform on of Skylark Church. And Josiah Parr is our youth pastor. Come on up, Si. He is our youth pastor, but he is not just a youth pastor. He is a man that he holds so much authority and ability. He does so much in the life of this church that is not seen, including church life. He's the man holding the camera and spending the hours editing. He's the one that does loads of other stuff. So, Si, we are so excited to hear from you this morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Why don't you stand up with me? When Jesus instructed his disciples to pray, he gave them a prayer. A few years ago, a friend of mine, Bless, wrote it. And why don't you just bow your heads with me? I'm going to pray over us. Our Father, who dwells in the heavens and on the earth, you are holy. May heaven be a greater present reality here on earth. And may we choose to join you in making that happen. Provide us today with the things that you think that we need. May we not take for granted that which you have already provided. Forgive us when we don't live as you intend. And may we be ready to forgive others when they don't live as we intend. Guide us in your wisdom away from the things that would distort us. And restore the parts in us that are already distorted. You are goodness, beauty, and truth. May your love rule always. Amen. Take a seat. What a prayer to pray. It's quite audacious. It's quite a big thing to ask for. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Turn to the person next to you and welcome them to church this morning. It's a good thing to do. So as many of you know, I was born in America. I moved to Australia when I was 5. Then I moved to the United Kingdom when I was 20. I married a New Zealander and then became a British citizen. So it was quite an interesting start to my life. You'll see up there the significant places for me. And having citizenships for me was never, ever the problem. I just, you know, go to places and you know, pull out the one that I want, have a look. My issue with citizenships is not necessarily having citizenships, it's having the paperwork that goes along with those citizenships. And I got caught out last year when I was heading out to Australia, and you know, I had just got my brand new British passport, and I was like, yes, this is the one. This is what I've been waiting for. I paid a lot of money for this passport. I've waited a long time to have it. I got it, and I'm like, actually, all the other passports, and now this is for your benefit, all the other passports do not mean anything by comparison to this amazing British passport. So I got that one, and we made our plans to travel to Australia, and I thought, actually, well, the Australian government now requires anybody who comes to its shores to get a visa. And so I applied for a visa, letting them know that I'm also Australian, and they said to me in the most kind way, if you're Australian, we don't give Australian citizens visas to this country. You have to have a valid Australian passport. So this is Tuesday, and I'm flying out Monday, and I needed a passport quick smart. So we call the Australian Embassy, and the Australian Embassy in London is obviously just part-time. So what they do is they work till 12 o'clock, and they knock off, and they have beer. That's what they do. So I call up, and they had already closed for the day, and I was like, thank goodness. So I called the next day, and they said to me, you have to pay a lot of money, but we'll get your passport to you, but we'll get it to you by Monday. And I said, well, the issue with that is I'm flying on Monday and I need that passport so I can get into the country which I'm from. And so they said to us, okay, there might be a slim opportunity for you to be able to get that passport so you can come. So if we'll let you know on Friday. Friday is the deadline. We will call you at 1 o'clock and you have to travel from where you are and come up and you'll have to get it. We go into shutdown at 3 o'clock. So you have between 1 and 3, we will call you. So I was sitting in Pret with Pete and Nikki, freaking out, thinking, I'm not going to be able to go to Australia. This is really hideous. I get this phone call and they're like, come get your passport. So I'm like, I didn't even say goodbye. I'm like, I'm off. I ran up to the train station, caught the train to London, got there, caught the train and the tube to the Strand. And I got to the Strand and I knew that the Australian consular was on the Strand. I got to the wrong end of the Strand. So I am there and I've got half an hour before the embassy closes and my trip to Australia is about to be lost. So I'm walking as fast as I can down the Strand. I'm bumping people out of the way. I'm like, tourists, get out of the way. I have a purpose. I have a plan. I've got to get there. I get there with 5 minutes to spare and I get my passport. And they pass it to me and I'm like, phew, I've got that passport. I can travel to my country. You think at that point you would have learned something about keeping your travel documents up to date, but me being me didn't really learn from that. Later on in the year, I was traveling. My aunt passed away, and I had to travel back to Australia, and the only flight that I could get happened to be by the country of my birth, the United States of America. And yeah. Oh no. Trust me, that's what I felt. I was sitting in the shop as I was buying it, and he's like, "Okay, so if you go to America, even if you're transiting through America, you have to clear immigration, go back in, and then we'll allow you to fly on." The issue with that is, I know in the back of my head that if you're from the country and you don't have a valid passport, they don't give you a visa. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to go through America, I've got to clear immigration, I've got to do all of that, and I know that they're not going to let me through. So we sit with the guy, and he's like, just fill out all the stuff for the visa, and you know, you can plead your case when you get there. And I'm thinking, if I get there, it's Guantanamo Bay. If they don't let me in, they're going to deport me. They're going to put me in, you know, but there's worse places in the world than Cuba, right? So I was thinking, I'll get there. I was in the line at the thing, and I watch all of the American citizens going through this really quick process. And I'm standing in the line with all of the people who are clearing the immigration. And I finally get to the end of the line, and I pull out my British passport and my visa. He looks at my passport and he looks at me and looks at my passport, looks at me, clears his throat, and you never want them to clear their throat. It's not a good thing. He looks at me and he says, so it says here that you were born here in America. I said, that's right. I'm trying not to be too sarcastic. Yes, I am, sir. Yes. And he said, so do you have an American passport? And I said, yes, I do. It just it's 22 years out of date. He's like, okay, well, let me see it. So I pull it out, slide it onto the table. He has a look at it, picks up my British passport and slides it back to me. Says, you do not need this here. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, whatever. And he slides my British passport back to me, and he says, follow me. And at this point, I'm thinking, now we're going to Guantanamo Bay. This is it. I'm like, my head's down, and I'm like, Jesus, I just need to get to this funeral. This is not good. And I walk over to the front of the line of the American citizens. And he says to me, when Americans come home, We like to welcome them home. Doesn't matter how long you've been away, your citizenship gives you entry into this place. He said, don't worry about any other passports, any other documents, any other visas. There's nothing that will stop you from coming into this country if we can welcome you home. So welcome home, Mr. Pa. So I walked into, oh yes, my American friends are like cheering, come on. See, this, the same couldn't be said for Australia. They're just like, get out, we don't need you. You know, we've got plenty of other people that we could deal with. But Americans, they're like, welcome home. You know, this is your home. Doesn't matter how long you're away, welcome home. As a church, we've gone through a really significant period in our history. And, you know, God has changed our name from Christian Growth Center to Skylark Church. And this isn't just because Pete and Nikki felt like it was a nice thing to do. It was because God had something in store for us that we hadn't been able to achieve in our old season. The strap line for Skylark Church is connecting heaven and earth. And that is the mandate that we have as people of faith in this church. Connecting, taking the heavenlies, praying that prayer, let your kingdom come on earth here as it is in heaven. You know, it's more than just a new sign. It's more than just a party to celebrate. We're in a new season with a new mandate for today. And this month's theme is all about connecting heaven and earth. And this is a truly radical prayer to pray. Let your kingdom come. It's even more radical to live it out. Do you know what? Earth is our visible, tangible, in our face, demanding our attention, our times, and our lives. But heaven is unseen. It's a distant destination, the sweet by and by, already, but not yet. But Scripture says that our citizenship is, not will be, in heaven. Let me read that for you again. Scripture says that our citizenship is, not will be, in heaven. Right now, we are citizens of heaven. What does that mean? To be citizens of a seemingly distant and unfamiliar country. For now, we essentially have a dual citizenship. You have two passports. Or maybe you can look at it like an earth visa. You're just borrowed. You're here like to bring kingdom, to bring God's purposes and plans here on earth. These two realms, the heavenlies and the earth, they kind of coexist. The main view that a lot of Christians hold is that it's like earth now, heaven later. But actually, we believe that as Christians, we're like our mandate is to bring heaven and bring it to earth right now. The Bible says in Ephesians, it says we are seated in heavenly places. And so actually, in the whole concept that I'm going to be talking to us about this morning is this concept of bringing heaven to earth and unpack that for you. So you might want to grab a pen and paper and follow along with me. But when we gave our life to Christ, we became new creations. The old has gone and passed away. We gain a new citizenship, the citizenship of heaven. And I was talking to Nigel Langford this week and talking through my sermon this morning. And he said to me, he's like, oh, having listened to your story about your citizenships, and he said, there's a battle always going on for who owns you. Which country are you really from? And the same can be said for our citizenship here on earth and in heaven. Which is our true reality? Which is the real thing? Which is the, you know, are we citizens of earth with the visa to heaven, or converse? Are we doing the opposite? And the interesting thing for me was, he said to me, he said, I want you to just look up Barack Obama and type in, is Barack Obama really American? So I Googled that and 149 million results came up in 6.2 seconds. Articles that questioned the American president, his legitimacy to really be American. Now for me, I've had that my whole life. Well, you don't sound American. What voice? What? Are you South African? No. Are you Australian? What are you? People don't know where to put me. They kind of have this mentality of like, well, what really are you? And I think sometimes the thing that comes into question is where is our citizenship? Where are we based? What country do you represent? And the thing is, the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places. In Christ, we're seated in that heavenly place. And this morning, I want to talk to you all about what it means to really lay hold of your citizenship and to bring that citizenship that you have and bring it here on earth. You know, I really want to let you know this morning that this none of this that I'm going to talk to you about this morning is done in your own strength, in your own ability. In Luke 22, verse 69 says, but from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand. It's really familiar. Right in Ephesians, where he's talking in Ephesians 2, 6, he's saying that we're seated in heavenly places. But he's alluding back to this other scripture where he's saying Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's saying to us that we're seated in Christ in that place of authority. We're now sitting with somebody who's our advocate, somebody who's looking out for us. 21 times in the book of Ephesians, it says in Christ. This is not something that we can do in our own strength. This mandate of bringing heaven to earth is not done by our own might, by our own power. 21 times it tells us that we can only do it in Christ. So he's our advocate. He's the one who's looking out for us. You know, before I moved over to England, I'd started teaching myself some guitar, and I had a few chords, and I was like, oh, this is... You know, I really, really want to be able to get to the point where I'm good at playing guitar. I want to lead the youth in worship. And, you know, this is something that's going to be really cool. So I met with Mike Collins, the legend that is Mike Collins. And I said to him, Mike, would you teach me guitar? And so since the summer, he's been teaching me. We've been meeting weekly. But our first meeting that we had was slightly awkward. I'm really sorry, Freddie. I'm really sorry. The first thing that Mike did with me is he said, the first lesson of playing guitar is to learn how to sit. I'm like, I know how to sit. I do it every day. You know, I wake up, I get out, I go downstairs, I sit at breakfast, I come to work, I sit at work. And he's like, no. This is different. If you can't sit in the right posture, then you will not be able to play guitar in the way that you're supposed to. So he pushes my shoulders up and sits me in this position. And I'm like, okay, now we can shred. Now we can learn how to play. This is amazing. But it seemed like a really awkward, weird place to begin. And as Paul writes to the Ephesian church, he uses a familiar concept from Psalm 1:1. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. He talks about the things that we shouldn't do. And it talks through these four postures. And it says, these are the things which we as Christians should stay away from. And he begins to write this scripture to the church in Ephesians, and he takes it in a completely different way. He begins to unpack these four postures that we have to take up as Christians in order to bring heaven to earth. And the first one starts in Ephesians 2:6. It says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united in Christ Jesus. I am seated in heavenly places. What happens when we realize this truth? Well, it's a lot like what happens when you look out the window of a plane. Things look smaller, a little bit more manageable. Our perspective is lifted. The moment I was reminded that God had seated us with Christ, I began to look at things from a different perspective. Our problems that seem massive to us all of a sudden look like they're minuscule because we're seated in that place of authority. God tells us that we're seated in Christ so that we know it's not just us on our own. It can be hard to remember that when you're in the midst of your reality, your life, your problems, but nonetheless, it's God stepping into our situation with authority. Jesus calls us co-laborers. He calls us his friends, and he's in that place of authority, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he says, hey, from this place, this is the first posture which I need for you to understand. You are seated with me. The second posture which Paul begins to speak out is in Ephesians 3, verse 14. And this is kneeling before the Father. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. This traditional posture of prayer requests is something that we learned from ancient times where people would bring their requests to the king. You could never just walk into a throne room and just stand there. The whole purpose of kneeling was to ask for something of your king. So they would go into the presence of king, and they would kneel before him, and they would make their request known to him. And here in this point, the second posture that we have is one where we lay aside our rights and our abilities, and we kneel before King, and we say, God, we're making our request known to you. We know that you have all authority. We know that you have all the dominion, all the power. So we kneel before you and we ask that you do what we cannot. Number three, walking in the Spirit. In Ephesians 4 verse 1, it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. The phrase, walk by the Spirit, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. So here we see the opposite of walking by the Spirit is namely walking in the desires of the flesh. Remember, flesh is the ordinary human nature that does not relish the things of God and prefers to get satisfaction from independence. But when we walk by the Spirit, we are not controlled by those desires. We all of a sudden, we start to see things as the Spirit of God sees them. We walk in that power and the authority of the Spirit of God. This means that walking by the Spirit is not just something that we do in order to get the Spirit's help, but rather, just as the phrase implies, it's something that we do to do by the enablement of the Holy Spirit. We can only walk in the power of the Spirit, not by our own strength, not by our own authority, but because the Spirit of God empowers us. Number four, standing. Standing against the devil. Ephesians 6:10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So you've got your armor on and you're ready to stand and fight. This isn't a fight that is done here on earth in our own strength or in our own ability. This battle is won in the heavenly realms and outworked here on the earth below. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your posture will determine your readiness for this battle. First sitting, then kneeling, walking, then standing. So you know what? This week on Friday we had to go and get the minibus cleaned, and we were sitting in this waiting room, and the first reaction is to just get out your phone and to just pass the time. I had Timothy with me, my friend who's over from Belgium this week, and he naturally just pulls out his laptop, sits it down, and we begin to just go off into our digital world. And the guy who's sitting next to us is kind of looking on, and he gets up. The guys come and call him to come and collect his car. So I just look up from my phone and I'm like, "Mate, have a great week." And he walks out and leaves, and I was like, "Okay, cool, that's it." Look back at my phone, keep on doing what I was doing. He walks back in and says, "They're not done with my car. You're going to have to put up with me for a little bit longer." And so I put my phone down and I start to have this conversation with this guy. He starts to tell me about his life, tell me about the things that have gone on in him. And turns out his son comes along to Raw Cafe on Friday nights, and I was like, "Wow, that's cool." He starts to tell me about how he was involved in youth ministry as a kid and how he used to go to church, and he had kind of lost his faith in God but still believed in Jesus. And I was like, "Okay." And as we sat there, we just talked and talked, and I felt God give me some words for him. And, we sat there, and it ended up being that I invited him to church this morning. And he said to me as he left, "I've been waiting for you to invite me." So he left. And behind me was the manager of the car wash, and he's been sitting on the phone to an insurance company and, just listening to Hold Music. And he obviously thought my voice was more interesting than Hold Music. So he says to me, "I've been listening. I've been listening to your stories, the things that you've been saying, and actually, I want to come to church too." I'm like, "Cool. Fantastic." And he said to me, he's like, "I'm a Muslim. I've been seeking out God, and I really want to have a real understanding of who Jesus is and what he means in my life." I'm like, "Wow, that is incredible." Do you know what? The whole week I've spent with this message, really crying out to God and going, "God," at first, when Pete and Nikki asked me to preach, I was really excited about the thing that I could preach this, I could do that, I could say that. I had all these things running through my mind, and it got to the point where my mind was so blank that I was feeling like, the pressure is on. I need to deliver something. I need to be ready to bring a message that will encourage people. And from that point, I just began to really cry out to God and be like, "God, I have nothing. I have nothing that is bringing life into my mind. I keep on faltering whenever I write something down. I write a whole page and then I look at it and I'm thinking, what? Nobody's going to understand that. Screw it up and throw it in the bin." And on Wednesday, we began to pray as an office, and we were praying for other things, and God reminded me of this scripture in Ephesians and said, "You are seated in heavenly places." So often, in our troubles, we fight from that place of being here on earth. And in our own strength, in our own ability, by our own wisdom and our own knowledge, and we get to the point of frustration. We want to screw up our existence and throw it out and just be like, "Well, this is pointless. I can't do this. I can't ever break through in my own strength." And that is the truth. See, the Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places. Seated in that place where Christ is. And from that understanding of being able to know where we're seated, he then calls us to understand these other postures where we kneel before God, where we make our requests known to him, where we stand and we fight in the authority that Christ has given us. See, we have to get these things in order that actually we don't do things in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own mentalities, in our own knowledge. You know what? In every other area of our lives, we have to practice and practice to show ourselves approved. We have to spend hours and hours in order to get that bachelor's degree or that master's degree or to get our GCSEs or to do it. We spend so much time working to be in that place where we can be approved. But this verse says, before you practice, I'm going to place you in a position of promise. So before you've done anything, before you've worked or strived or run or fought, I'm going to take you from that place where you are, where you accepted me. I'm going to scoop you out of that place. I'm going to seat you in heaven. There's nothing that you can do in your own strength or your own ability to get that position. God just does it. It's all his job. He scoops you up. He says, I'm putting you into this place of authority. And from that place of authority, now practice. Now outwork the call of God upon your life. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're called to bring heaven to earth. That mandate to be able to say, God, let your kingdom come here in Chelmsford, here in my life, here in my family, in my school. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Will only take place when we understand that our posture is working from that place of victory, working from that place of authority. And you know what? It's not done by you, it's done by Christ. 21 times it says, in Christ. You are in Christ. In Christ. Just get it through your head. You don't have to do it in your own strength. You're in Christ. That for me is such an awesome thing because I know that when I come up short. I come up and I miss the point. I miss the mark continually. But because of Christ and because of the work of the cross, I stand in that place where God has all authority. I sit in that place. So why don't you stand with me to your feet? Jesus, I thank you that we are new creations. Lord God, the old has gone, the new has come. Lord God, we have a citizenship that is in heavenly places, in heavenly realms. Lord God, and I know that there's a battle consistently going on around us. Lord, a battle to know who we are and whose we are. Lord, there's a battle going on for the way that we speak and the way that we see things. And Lord God, I pray that we would have the eyes of our understanding opened. Lord God, that we'd know that we are the head and not the tail. Lord God, that you gave us that commandment to bring heaven to earth. And Lord God, we get to be co-laborers with you. Lord God, we get to build kingdom here on earth in this time, in this season, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, let it come here. Build your church here. Make it strong here, Jesus. Lord God, do something fresh in our midst. Lord God, even as we've set time aside this evening, Lord God, to earnestly seek you. Lord God, to seek your face. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would pour out something fresh over us as a church. Lord God, you've called us a new name. You've called us Skylark. Lord God, in order that we might connect heaven and earth. Lord God, I pray that we would start to live from that place of our authority, Lord God, knowing that we are meant to soar into those heavenly places, Lord God, but you've made us have our home here on earth. Lord God, I pray that signs and wonders would be released in this place. Lord God, and that people would see the kingdom of God breaking in. Lord God, not because we strive in our own strength, but because it's in Christ. And we know that you have all authority. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.